Thank you for this opportunity and for sharing your time with us this morning. There are so many beautiful days like today, and you're here, which is great, and you care about the topics we're talking about. So I'm going to present a recently completed federally funded grant that was supported by the National Institute of Nursing Research. And we did this study that went on for several years because of the difficulty in recruiting participants to this type of work. Imagine trying to get teen moms and then have their boyfriends come to this kind of program. That was one of our biggest challenges, was once they were there, we did a lot better. This study would not have been possible without a wonderful team, including a number of statistical experts, as well as the project director, Evelyn Gonzalez-Figueroa, and community collaborators, Jerry Teo and Barbara Capos, as well as Ralph DiClemente, who served as our consultant. And this whole project was based on a community-based participatory approach in which we worked with a Bienvenidos, a Latino health agency in East Los Angeles. So, the primary aim of our longitudinal study was to evaluate the efficacy of a couple-focused HIV prevention program reducing sexual risk-taking on sexual risk-taking behaviors. And as you could see from our pictures, we were focusing on condom use and trying to maintain monogamous relationships as well. So, safe sex was the goal here. Everyone was sexually active. Our secondary goals were to determine the impact on intermediate outcomes, that being intentions to use condoms and AIDS knowledge, and to examine moderators of intervention, particularly feelings of parental protectiveness, and how the caring for the child influenced sexually risk-taking. Our work addresses national health priorities in the area of HIV prevention for youth. And you all know that about 50% of cases worldwide are occurring among people 25 years of age and younger. And nearly 25% of the new cases in the U.S. are to 13 to 19-year-olds. 80% of AIDS cases in the women are among African American and Latino. So young women are particularly at risk for heterosexual transmission. Our earlier work, and this is one of a series of studies, that showed that young mothers represent a subgroup of youth at particular risk for HIV for a variety of reasons. They are predominantly from ethnic and racial minority groups that are disproportionately affected by the virus, and they have histories of early onset of sexual activity, high rates of unprotected sex, much higher than the general population, and multiple partners over time, sort of serial monogamy for most of them. The male partners have similar histories, and many have used illegal substances and shared needles for body piercing and tattoos, as well as belong to gangs, which often is associated with multiple partners. So we, through our work and a few other people, are building a body of literature that's documenting the strengths and resiliency of young parents. Particularly, their motivation to be a good parent can lead to positive behavior change. And we know during pregnancy that women often stop smoking and decrease or stop their substance use. There was a lack of couple-focused HIV prevention programs in general, and for heterosexual populations, and there was nothing that has previously been done, to our knowledge, with young parents who was focusing on Latinos and for adolescents. So those studies that were done, there was a couple focus study that involved young adult Latinos. They measured outcomes to 6 months, which is not uncommon. And there have been mixed findings over the past in terms of studies. So we designed this randomized controlled trial. And what we did is we randomized by couple and we into a six-session HIV prevention program, which was couple focus versus a traditional one-session information only on HIV. And we collected the data, baseline data, before randomization. We separated the males and females for this. And then we immediately after this data collection did the randomization and started the intervention. We found this to be particularly important because if you wait, often the couples don't come back. So we had tried it other ways. And I just say that as a tip. It really helped us to have the involvement in the intervention. And we followed people for baseline through 3 months, post-intervention, 6 months, and 12 months. The couple-focused HIV prevention built upon traditional theories that you see in health education, social cognitive, the theory of reasoned action, but we also relied heavily on gender and power theory, as well as work that had been done by Jerry Tao, one of our partners, which is called Healing the Wounded Spirit. And what this does is that it basically promotes the idea that when developing a curriculum for young high-risk youth, you need to examine culture, you need to examine identity development, you need to examine issues of gender and power, you need to examine community involvement, exposure to racism, oppression, and family violence, and look at these as well as future planning in addressing behavior change, that you can't just ignore the life history. So we also derived our curriculum from the experiences of our partner in working with Latinos over many years. So our intervention was designed and pilot tested using community-based participatory research methods, and a recent paper came out on the outcomes of that preliminary work. We had a 12-hour curriculum built on feelings of parental protectiveness as a motivator for risk reduction, and integrating traditional or cultural teaching such as storytelling, reflection, guidance, and interactive activities. Some of our interactive activities were very similar to the kinds that are in other HIV prevention programs. In addition, we did life planning in terms of what they wanted for themselves and their child, their family, and letter writing, where they reflected upon what they wrote a letter to their baby and talked about what they wanted for their future. And then we talked about what kinds of changes needed to be made in terms of achieving these goals. What would be the plan? The program was co-led by pairs of male and female facilitators. We offered it in English or Spanish, and the facilitators presented the material in light of their personal experiences. We had both combined male and female sessions and separate sessions where, for example, the male facilitator took the young fathers into a separate area and they talked about issues of violence in the family, violence in interpersonal relations, and we did some condom skill practice in separated by gender. We also looked at the context in which HIV risk behaviors occur, particularly highly emotional personal interactions with partners. And when you have a baby, it's particularly, there's a real commitment and strong desire to stay together for the young mothers with the male partners. We looked at positive aspects of sexual norms and values, particularly young fathers, really their desire to take care of their family and to protect their family, along with the young mothers. And I just want to go back one picture just to show you. This is Ozzie Cruz, and he had his first child at 15. He was one of our best facilitators from East L.A., and this is his son. So we really try to have the program led by culturally matched individuals who had similar backgrounds and were good role models. And this is just one example from the National Latino Fatherhood and Family Institute of one of the ways that one of our activities. We focus on the concept of palabra, which basically we thought of as almost like a legal contract where when one gives their word, it's really an important meaning to that. And within the giving one's word, there are four points we focus on. Don't harm others. Be a positive example to others, be responsible for your actions, and keep your word. And we related that to interpersonal relationships as well as to parenting. So that's kind of one example of how this program was very different than some other programs. We had a graduation ceremony, which was sort of a rites of passage, and everybody got their UCLA certificate, and you can see right here, the groups were very small. We had hoped to have like five or six couples, but we had as few as two or three at times. Because when they come with their babies and they've made the effort to be there, you offer the intervention, whether you have the desired target size or not. So we did everything to facilitate that. So let's look at the sample. The teens, although our criteria was 14 to 25 years of age, the mean age was a little bit older, females being just past 18 and males 20, but going down as young as 14 to 15. And people asked, did we have any difficulties with the mixed groups? And although most of our teens were not that young, we didn't seem to have difficulty. Number of lifetime partners varied widely. You can see the range in males. And some people had just one partner, so it was, we didn't use number of partners as a criteria. These couples were in a long-term relationship. Oh, you can see nearly 3 years. So that was unexpected. The large majority were Latino. We did not exclude non-Latinos, and we had a number that were of mixed ethnicity. Education varied widely, and you can see we had some young people. A number had completed high school, and some were going on to college. Many expressed a desire to do that in their lives. History of physical abuse was about the same in males and females. Where we saw differences was in sexual abuse, and we think it might have been higher in the young men, but harder to report. Depressive symptoms. Look, almost a third of the young fathers had depressive symptomatology based on the CESD. And the rates of alcohol use were kind of consistent with and other substance use. The three drugs, alcohol, marijuana, cocaine, and methamphetamine, were pretty consistent with what we've seen across studies. These are lifetime rates, and as expected, they were higher in the males than in the females. But the methamphetamine rate with women was over a quarter of the sample. So now what we did is we did multiple imputation modeling to create a database and be able to use all of the data. We did multiple 20 models to create data for the missing participants at different points. People were in and out at various data points. And this is for the proportion of unprotected sexual activity. And what we found is that the proportion of unprotected sex declined for the treatment group significantly between baseline and 6 months, but rose towards from the 6 month period to the 12 month follow up. The control group remained relatively constant throughout the 12 month period. And so what this basically says is that we supported the efficacy of the intervention, but not the sustainability. And this makes me reflect quite a bit on those programs that go to 6 months, some of them now being used as CDC models for replication. And how long should we be following people in terms of intervention? Now, when we look at intentions to use condoms improved significantly for the treatment group, again, between baseline and 6 months, but declined after 6 months, while the control group remained relatively constant throughout the 12-month period. Overall, there was a gender difference, with females having significantly higher intentions to use condoms than males. In terms of AIDS knowledge, well, the comparison group was an AIDS information group, so both groups improved significantly between baseline and 6 months. But the control group declined between 6 and 12 months, and the treatment group remained about the same over this time period. So there were sustained effects. Overall, women had significantly higher AIDS knowledge than their male counterparts. Looking at the moderating effect of parental protectiveness on intervention, we did this for the probability of unprotected sex. And we had some interesting findings here. Male behaviors, we categorized the men into high or low protectiveness based on their score, as we did for the women. And what we found is the males who had high-level scores, in other words, high protectiveness, feelings of protectiveness for their child, had better outcomes. In other words, were less likely to have unprotected sex than those who had low protectiveness. And this was in the treatment group. And so not only were they less likely, but their own protectiveness was a moderating factor on their female's behavior, their female partners. Whereas for the female, there was very high levels of protectiveness in this group, but their level of protectiveness did not moderate their own behavior or their partner's behavior. So, and we know from our work how interested young parents are in parenting. So as a next phase, we are thinking of giving them more parenting, because some of the same concepts of communication and respect, et cetera, really fit into parenting as they do into healthy family relationships. So what do our findings say? Well, our findings support the efficacy of the couple-focused HIV prevention program for decreasing sexual risk-taking and increasing intentions to use condoms. Their long-term benefits are sustained in terms of AIDS knowledge, and there are some gender differences for selected outcomes, with females benefiting more than males. parental protectiveness significantly moderated the effects of the intervention, and we know from this that we need some sort of booster, be it a telephone follow-up or some sort of something from that six-month period to help these young parents to sustain their behavior. We also know that it's feasible to work with this very hard-to-reach population, and we know that pregnancy and the postpartum period offer a window of opportunity to support positive behavior change, not just in young mothers, but in young fathers as well, and that we need to provide support and reinforcement of the behavior change over time. We need to continue to design programs that involve male partners in HIV prevention efforts and apply a strength-based approach to intervention along with a focus on individual behavior change. We need to address the issues in the life of young parents that may influence their behaviors, such as past history of abuse. And so the curriculum needs to kind of look at why one would be acting out in ways that would be harmful to oneself or to people in their community. And I think that's it for now.
Thank you. Very interesting program. See, it's going backwards. There we go. Okay.